Father, we do thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love found only in Christ. Lord, we do recognize our great need for you, to be made right with you, Father, because of our great sin against you. And Lord, we thank you for making a way. Thank you for making a way through the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, our only hope in life and in death, Father. Lord, we pray now, as we hear from your word, that you would speak to us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel of John. This is a precious book to many. Whether you are a new believer or you've been a believer for many, many years, I am sure that you can think about passages throughout the Gospel of John that are precious to you. Verses that mean a whole lot to you that the Lord has used in your own life. This Gospel is a wonderful book that, Lord willing, we're going to spend a good bit of time in over the next few months looking at what God has to say to us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so because we're going to be in this book for some time, I want us to try to understand for a few moments before we look at John chapter 1 together what this book is about and why it is that John wrote this book. We have to first ask the question, who is the author? Who is John that wrote this book? John is the author of this book and the book of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. God, by the inspiration of the Spirit, led John to write these words that we have for us this morning. John was a fisherman. He had a brother named James. They left everything to follow the Lord Jesus. They became eyewitnesses to the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He would see the glory of the Lord Jesus in the healings and in the miracles and on the Mount of Transfiguration. He would hear the great teachings of the Lord Jesus. It was John that Jesus cried down from the cross to take care of his mother. It was John who was with Peter that was beaten and arrested in the early parts of the book of Acts. It was John who was exiled later in life as an old man, who then wrote from the island of Patmos the book of Revelation. John loved the Lord Jesus. And more importantly, he was loved by the Lord Jesus. Throughout this gospel, he refers to himself not as John, but as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And some people think that that's some pride in that, but John is humbled by the fact that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would love him. And this is John's account. This is John's account of the life and ministry of Jesus. We have four Gospels in our New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are all about the same thing, about the Lord Jesus, about his life and his ministry and his death and resurrection, but under the inspiration of the Spirit, they are told from different perspectives. And if you were to study Matthew and Mark and Luke, there are a lot of accounts that are very similar. John's own gospel, though, is different than the others. John draws things out and helps us to see things that the other gospels do not. John's gospel is unique in that it has stories that the other gospel doesn't. It has the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus in the middle of the night. It has Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It has Jesus' miracle in raising Lazarus back from the dead in John chapter 11. It gives us this beautiful, beautiful teaching of Jesus in the upper room discourse in John 13 through 17. We have a lot of things in this gospel that are not found in the others, that help us to see who the Lord Jesus is. Whenever you start a new book, especially of Scripture, the point is to ask, what is the purpose of this book? I don't know if you've ever read another book before outside of Scripture and you're halfway through it and you think, I don't even know what the author's saying. I don't know what this book's about. I miss the purpose of this book. John is very helpful in giving us the purpose of the book. We don't have to question why he wrote his gospel. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says this: Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John tells us, here is why I have written my gospel account, so that you would believe in the Lord Jesus and you have life in Him. It's not just believing, it's living out this Christian life. This is a wonderful, wonderful book of Scripture. This is a book that in some ways is difficult to study and to preach if you have studied it before, because on the surface, there's a lot of truths that many people can understand. One author has said it this way, that the Gospel of John is like a swimming pool, shallow enough for a child to wade in, but it's deep enough for an elephant to swim in. And you're going to see in just a moment, just these first few verses, there are things that all of us can understand, but as we dive deep, there are things that are that are just mysterious, that we have to trust in the Lord by faith that they are true. And there are things that we will see in the first few verses that some of the smartest men in all of Christian history have spent their entire lives considering some of these truths. And it's this gospel that I invite you for these next few months to journey with me through, looking at the life of our Lord and Savior. We're going to read the first 18 verses together, but we're only going to consider the first 5 verses. But these first 18 verses go together. They're the prologue. It's the introduction to the rest of the gospel. So I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." Father, we pray now We pray asking that you would help us to see and to understand your word this morning. We pray that your spirit would lead us and to guide us into all truth, to know you more, to love you more, and to serve you more, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In these first five verses, we're going to see four things this morning concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is that Jesus is the eternal Word. Jesus is the eternal Word. We see this in verses 1 and 2. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." If you are familiar with your Old Testament, as the Jewish people would have been that John is writing to in this first century, when they hear this word, "in the beginning," their minds automatically go back to another portion of Scripture. It automatically goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "in the beginning, God." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John is very intentional, under the inspiration of the Spirit, trying to get these people in these first century and us today to connect the two things. That in the beginning, God existed. In the beginning, before the beginning, God existed. He has always existed. He is eternal. Psalm 9, he says, he is from everlasting to everlasting. There's never been a time when God wasn't. He's in the past, the present, and always in the future. God is eternal. And John is hearkening back to Genesis, trying to get their minds to see that before the beginning, there was God. What's unique about John's gospel is he begins way back in the eternal purposes of God. Matthew and Luke begin in the manger with the birth of the Lord Jesus. John begins even further back than that, in the beginning. But instead of saying God, John gives us another name or another word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. Now, this would have caught the attention of those early Jewish people and the disciples there and the Christians there. And it should catch our attention because he's not saying in the beginning God. He says in the beginning was the Word. And we have to ask ourselves the question, who is the Word? What does this mean? Well, this Word is there in the beginning with God. And he says that the Word was God. Chapter 1, verse 14 tells us this Word became flesh. Verse 17 tells us that this Word was realized in Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus. And so John wants us to understand that he was there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning. He has always existed. And so before anything else was created, before time came into being, before the universe came into being, was the Word. And we have to unpack this a little bit because he says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is trying to help us to see something unique about this Word, about the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. He says that he was with God, so he's distinct in some ways from the Father, but he is also was God. You can see already, chapter 1, verse 1, we are in the deep part of the pool with the elephants. This beautiful doctrine of the Trinity, that he was with God, but he was God. Other parts of Scripture help us to understand this doctrine of the Trinity, the belief that we believe in one God and three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28 tells us that we are to baptize believers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here we have in the beginning, we have the Word. He has always been with the Father. He has been one with the Father, and the Spirit is there as well. So we have it here that John, from the very beginning, is trying to do something. He's trying to help us to see from the very beginning, there is no question, no doubt, that this Word, this Jesus, is God Himself in the flesh. In John chapter 20, after all of this has happened, and after the life of Jesus and the ministry and the death and the resurrection, we have Thomas doubting some of the resurrection of Jesus. And he says that he's not going to believe unless he can actually touch the wounds of Jesus. And in John 20, verse 27, Jesus said to him, Thomas, he says, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. So from the very beginning, John wants us to understand that the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, Jesus, is God Himself. He is with God and He was God. There is nothing that Jesus lacks that the Father has and He does not have. He has everything that the Father has. He is everything that the Father is. And as the Word of God, as the eternal Word, He reveals to us God. He reveals to us who it is that God is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and as the Word, He, if you will, communicates God to us. He reveals God to us. The only reason that we can have a relationship with God right now, it's because God, in His mercy and grace, has made a way for us to know Him. Has spoken to us through the Word, the Lord Jesus. And has spoken to us through His revelation, His Word, so that we can know this Lord Jesus. See, if God had held to Himself all of knowledge and communication, we would just be, as John says, in the darkness because of our sin. But God has revealed Himself to us. And John's gospel is telling us, John is telling us in his gospel, this is why I'm writing this. I don't want to withhold this information to the world. I want you to know the Lord Jesus, believe, and have life in Him. Goes right back to his purpose statement. I want you to believe in the Lord Jesus. And in believing, have life in His name. Have life in His name. And so my prayer, as we walk through this gospel, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, is that you would examine your heart on a regular basis. Do I truly know and believe in this Lord Jesus? Not just, I know facts about Him. I know a little bit about Him. I know some things. No, do you believe? Do you know in whom you have believed? As Paul said in 2 Timothy. Do you know in whom you have believed? Are you confident in the Lord Jesus and in your faith in Him? Do you know that you know that you know you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Do you have life in Him? As the Word, He not only communicates to us who God is, but it's also, we have to understand that in this, in the coming of the Word that became flesh, as we'll look at next week, but God has entered into our world. God has entered in through the Lord Jesus into our world. One author says this, John's Word, speaking of the Word of Christ, does not show us a God who is detached, but a God who is passionately involved. The Word speaks of God's coming where we are, taking our nature upon Himself and entering into the world's struggle, and out of this agony, winning our salvation. He's not a God that does not understand. He's a God who has entered into the brokenness and into the fallenness of this world by the Word He has revealed himself. He has come to us. He is the eternal Word. Second, the Word is also the Creator. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John is very clear that everything in creation has been created by God through the Word. Verse 3, all things have come into being through him. Now, the Old Testament helps us to understand this some. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, or then God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God, through his word, created. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. And John is thinking back to these Old Testament themes of God speaking the word into creation and everything coming about. And now he's coming here and saying that it was still God through the word that has created all things. We, most of us, love creation. We love the creation that God has made and the world that God has made. We love to look at the trees. We love to see the leaves that are changing right now. And we love to look at the mountains. We love to go to the ocean and put our toes in the sand and to feel the beauty of God's creation. We love to look at the stars and the moon at night. It was a full moon last night. It was beautiful. We love to look at these things. We love to observe animals and creation. And we know that all of these things, there was a time when they did not exist. There was a time when nothing existed. But when God spoke through his word, creation happened. When God purposed to create, he did so through his word, so that apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's part of the reason I read Psalm 100 earlier in our beginning of our worship time, to remind us that we have not created ourselves, is what the psalmist says, but you, God, have created us. You have made us. God has created all things. Now that takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that. Hebrews 11 verse 3 tells us, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. There was a time when nothing existed except God himself and his self-existence, and God created all things through his word. See, the Christian worldview does not have room for what the world calls evolution. It doesn't have room for that. Where everything just happened out of nothing in a big bang, and it just all of a sudden came about. Our worldview is that God purposed and planned creation, and he did it, and he spoke it, and it came about. God did that out of nothing. He prepared the world by his word. We believe that by faith. And if God has created everything through his word, through the Lord Jesus, then all things belong to him. Psalm 24, verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything that you and I have in this world really and truly belong to God. Everything. Our land, our cars, our money, our houses, our children, our grandchildren, this church building, everything belongs to the Lord. We are merely stewards of this creation. We were called to take and to subdue creation and to have dominion over it. But God is the Lord of creation. We have to believe that. Because God is sovereign and has created all things, Ephesians 1:11 tells us that he's working all things after the counsel of his will. All things out in this world. One other note that we need to make sure we understand, that John wants us to make sure that we do not miss Going back to verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. John is going out of his way to make sure that you understand, and I understand, that Jesus has always existed, and He was not created. Now, why would He go out of His way to make sure that we understand that? Because He knew that people would misunderstand. There was a heresy that came about 300 years after the time of Christ. That word heresy, I don't know if you are familiar with it, but it is a false teaching or a false doctrine that proves one's lack of salvation, or it disproves their salvation. Meaning, if you believe in certain truths, it actually disproves your salvation in the Lord. And there was a man named Arius that said, taking some of this text and some of the other parts in the New Testament, and said that God the Father created the Son, and then from the Son created everything else. And John would say that that is absolutely wrong, because in the beginning was the Word, and through the Word all things came about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 tell us, "For by Him, by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." John is clear that Jesus was not another creation. Jesus was not another creature. He is one with the Father, the sovereign Lord of all. And the reason I make sure that we understand that is because what happens with heresies, what happens with false teaching, is they might go away for a time, but they always reappear. And there's a group of people called Jehovah's Witnesses that believe the exact same teaching as Arius did, that Jesus is a created being. And they would call themselves Christians, and Scripture would say, "You're absolutely wrong." 1 John would tell us that if you do not believe in the Son as revealed by the Word of God, then you are not truly a part of God's people. And so I tell you that to warn you, to help you to see that there are false teachings about the Son and about the Father, about God, all around us, and we need to know the truth. We need more truth. We need more theology and doctrine, and we need more of God's Word to help us to serve God, to know God, to believe in Him, to worship Him. The more we know of God helps us to worship Him more. When we know the truths of God, we worship Him more. We live for Him more. And so we go to the Word and we see that Christ is the eternal Word, and He is also the Creator. Third, He is also the source of life. He's the source of life, verse 4. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." We can understand this idea or concept of life in a couple of different ways. One, because He's given life to all things. He's created all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tell us this. "God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world." And so the author of Hebrews is saying Jesus is the Word that God spoke through, but He also created all things. And then verse 3, "And Jesus, He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power." So not only has Christ, God through Christ, created all things, but He sustains all of life as well. He guides all of life by His providence, by His sovereignty, and He sustains it. The reason that we are here this morning and we have breath in our lungs is because God is sustaining our lives. The reason that the building is not falling on top of us right now with the structure is because Jesus, by the power of His Word, is upholding the structure of this building. The reason that the sun stays exactly where it needs to, far enough away from us not to kill us with heat or with freezing to death, is by the power of the Word of God. All of life is sustained by His Word. When we think about creation, and we think, let me use just an illustration about this. I have a watch that I wear often, and someone made this watch, and when they made it, they took it and built it and put it together and put a battery in it and sold it to me. And that was it. Their hands are off of this watch. And some people think of God in that same way of creation. That God made everything, created everything, and set it on its course and is now hands off. But Scripture is clear that God is still sustaining and working in our everyday life here on this world. He is not a watchmaker. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe who is intertwined into all of our lives. He is the source of life. But this idea of life also is interesting because this is a theme that will come out throughout all of John's gospel. A theme of life and death, because the author of life has entered into a spiritually dead world. By taking on flesh, He has come to this world that's broken and full of sin and is without God in the darkness. And now He has brought spiritual life to this world. Jesus tells us this. He tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He tells us that He is the resurrection and the life. He tells us in John that He is the bread of life. He's using all of these words and illustrations to tell us of who He is by giving us spiritual life. Ephesians 2 is clear that all of us have been born into this world dead in our trespasses and sins. This is true of every single person. We look out in the world and we see the evil of the world and we see the wickedness of mankind. And it's easy to think, of course, that person there is sinful. But the Word of God is like a mirror, helping us and reflecting back our own sinfulness and our own spiritual need for the author of life to enter in to save us from death. He gives us life and life more abundant. He is the eternal life. So not only is He the source of creation, of the created life, but He is the source of all spiritual life. And that's why John said, I've written so that you may believe, and in believing have life in His name. Do you have life in His name this morning? Are you growing in your Christian life in the Lord Jesus? He is the Lord of life. My prayer is that you would know this and believe this today. Finally, He is not only the life, but He is the light. Jesus is the light, verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so John has helped us to see He's the eternal Word that's created everything, that now brings life to everything, and now shines light in the midst of this dark world. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12, He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Without Jesus entering into this world, this is a dark and dead place. But the life and the light has entered in by the Word becoming flesh. And life and light now are here in this world. You've all probably experienced darkness. The light's cut out, the power goes out, it's dark, and things get dark pretty quickly. This past Wednesday night, I shared the story about William Tyndale, who in the 1500s translated the Bible to English for the first time accurately to be able to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shared that at the last few days of his life, he was in prison for 500 days. And in his final letter, he requested two things. He requested, one, a lamp. He said, this darkness, this wet, damp dungeon is almost too much to bear in the darkness. I would like a lamp. And then he said, I'd also like my Hebrew Bible so that I can translate the Old Testament. He not only wanted a light to see, but he wanted the light that would lead him to the path of life. He wanted the Word of God as well, because in the Word of God shines forth the light in the midst of darkness. Jesus, as the light, has come into the darkness. It says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 tell us this about the light and the darkness. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Right there is a pretty good summary of why the world rejects the Lord Jesus. Why, without God's grace and mercy in your life, you also at one time rejected the Lord Jesus, because we all at one time loved the darkness rather than the light, because our deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Meaning, if you have been saved by this light, if you've seen the glory of the light of Christ, then you no longer walk in darkness, but you walk in his light. 1 Peter tells us we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John over and over and over says, believer, if you are a true believer, then you are to walk in the light and not in the darkness. Why? Because God himself is the light. And so if you are a believer this morning, God's word teaches us and tells us to walk in the light. Walk according to Scripture. Walk according to the ways of Christ. And where are we walking? In the midst of a dark world, in a perverse generation. But Philippians tells us that we are to shine like light, like stars in this perverse generation. And it's not our own light. It's not a light found within our own hearts. It's the light of the gospel that's exposed our sin to help us to see our need for a Savior. To see our need for Jesus, who has made a way for us to be made right with God. John ends verse 5 with two notes for us about the darkness. It says that the darkness did not comprehend it, or the light. Another way of understanding this is it did not overcome it. The first is that it did not understand it. And we'll come back to this next week. But naturally, again, we do not understand or believe the light apart from the grace of God in our lives. This is what John is teaching us. Darkness does not naturally become light. But he also tells us that the darkness does not overcome the light. And we need to hear that this morning, because we live in a world full of darkness. We live in a world full of sin, sin that we still struggle with even as believers, and sin that affects us each and every day by people sinning against us and us sinning against others. We live in a world where death happens all the time. We live in a world where crime happens all the time. Abuse happens all the time. Wars happen all the time. We live in a very dark and dangerous world, and it is very easy to look at the landscape of this world and begin to lose hope, unless you go back to verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome the light. No matter how dark It may get the light wins in the end because Christ wins in the end. He will have the final victory. And so we need to study this gospel because we need to know more of the Lord Jesus. We need to know and believe and trust that He has always existed so we can trust Him. We can believe in Him. He's the Creator, and we are responsible to our Creator. He is the life. He's the one that's given us life to live for Him, and He is the life that calls us out of darkness and calls us to shine the light of the gospel in this dark world. Christ is the one who deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. He is our great Savior. My prayer is that that gives us comfort and hope today, this week, and forever. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for Your Word. We thank You that You have revealed to us Yourself through Christ. We thank You that Christ is the eternal Word, the creating word, the source of life and the source of light, Father, to us. Lord, I pray that this would not just be another sermon that we hear and forget, but Father, help us to remember the truth of Christ that impacts every part of our life, Father. Impacts our daily life, impacts our marriages, our parenting, our jobs, our worship. It impacts everything because we now know Christ and know You in Christ, Father, for those who believe. Lord, as we journey through this wonderful gospel, we pray that You would help us to know You more through Christ each and every Sunday for Your glory and by Your grace.